Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And we do this every Thursday at 9:30. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Before we get into the playoffs, yesterday on ESPN, on the Pat McAfee show, Ryan Smith, one of the owners of the Utah franchise, made an impromptu visit, and apparently it's down to four names, including the Mammoth and the Yeti, for the new Utah franchise. How about that?
First off, shout out to McAfee for making news on a FaceTime call randomly with an NBA owner. Pretty dope. So here's the thing about that. First of all, those are two names that I really like. I actually think the Mammoth is kind of an amazing name insofar as, you know, the connotation of size, but also the connotation of evoking, it makes you think of the Ice Age movies, right? The thing I have a problem with Yeti is that canonically, the plural of Yeti is Yetis, but they are really steadfast in saying it's going to be the Yeti and not the Yetis. So as a writer, as a grammarian, I'm probably going to be bugged by this in perpetuity, but I think probably for marketing reasons, it's probably the smart idea to just go with Yeti.
Well, I've wondered too if they would go with a different name that's similar, but a Yeti would be the mascot, like the physical mascot.
No, they'd go with Yeti, and it's not a bad name. I mean, like it's two like short words together. If you remember, the thing I learned about Salt Lake City in a very short amount of time is that they hate Denver. Apparently, like there's real yeah. Heat between Utah and Colorado as far as like who's the king of winter sports in the U.S. So you know the Avalanche do have that Bigfoot foot on their shoulder as like an alternate logo. So there is some heat there. You know, you get Yeti versus Bigfoot. To help supplement the already festering Utah versus Colorado rivalry.
See, I like the wrestling analogy. There's heat. You know, you got to build heat in the rivalry. So that's very, very good. All right, let's talk about the playoffs. And both of these series in the East and the West, I think, have been fantastic viewing. Edmonton scores five straight last night to even the series at two, beats Dallas. You got the Rangers and the Panthers that I feel like they're going to overtime in every game. That series is tied at two. I think the playoffs has been very, very fun to watch.
It has been. And I do think that the final four teams are probably the four best teams in the playoffs, which doesn't always happen.
I agree.
You know, the Oilers are a maddening team. I can't figure out if they're the team that we saw in the first 6 minutes of that game where they get smoked for two goals and look kind of disengaged, or if the team that we see for the rest of the game where they pay attention to their details, they dominate defensively, like they have it in them. They just don't do it all the time for some reason. So, you know, if you wanted to cast it as kind of a series where Edmonton's either going to win or lose it, I think that's a fair assessment of that series. And then over in the East, it's really interesting because you're kind of at an inflection point for the Rangers. The Panthers in the last two games have just destroyed them at 5-on-5. We're talking like over 70% of the shot attempts, the scoring chances, the expected goals. Like they absolutely rolled the Rangers, and yet it's still, you know, a 2-2 series. The question is are the Rangers going to be able to win the series without any contributions from their top players? Kreider doesn't have a point in the series. Mika Zibanejad doesn't have a goal in 9 games. Panarin's goal drought is 7 games. If these guys can turn it around, it's a different story. But as it stands right now, like everything is trending in the Panthers' direction. But again, like the Rangers are 2-2, and they find ways to win these games, and nothing is said and done until it's said and done.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
All right, Greg, let me ask you about Peter Laviolette, because I think in Nashville, he wasn't appreciated enough. I know we love Barry Trotz and, you know, Peter left in 2019 and all that. Where does he rank? I mean, if the Rangers run the table and they win a Stanley Cup, he's won, you know, two with two different teams. He's taken four teams to the final. Where does he rank? Where does he rank now? I mean, but where would he rank if he is able to take the Rangers to the Cup?
Well, first of all, an amazingly charismatic guy. People call him the Ryan Gosling of hockey. I'm kidding, of course. He is a wonderful, gruff man who was the perfect coach for this team at this time. I think they needed someone like him to come in Their confidence was a little bit shaken after losing to the Devils in seven games last year. He comes in and he gives them structure. He gives them a defensive scheme. He really kind of like rebuilds this team a little bit from a confidence perspective and from a systems perspective that has really put them in a position to win. Look, man, I mean, if you win a cup in New York with the Rangers, you're a legend. I mean, Mike Keenan is a legend for having been behind the bench and watching a bunch of ex-Oilers lead the Rangers to their first cup in 54 years. If Peter Laviolette comes in here and the Rangers win their first cup in 30 years, he will be in that pantheon of legendary New York coaches that bring their team championships. And I don't think it's by accident. I think he's done some really good work on this team behind the scenes. And like I said, the right voice at the right time for this franchise.
I know you're not embedded here in Nashville, but I feel, Greg, oftentimes he gets overlooked, and I don't know why.
I think it's probably because he won a cup in Carolina, right? Which is not winning a cup in a Canadian market or a major U.S. market. I think it's also because he's bounced around a bit. You know, he's a bit of a vagabond, and I'm sure that's probably factoring into it. It is interesting, by the way, to think about the four coaches that we have right now and how much attention is paid in this league to, oh God, another retread. You got Paul Maurice, who's the definition of retread. You got Laviolette, who's bounced around like a rubber ball around this league. And then you got Pete DeBoer, who's, you know, on his like, you know, fourth or fifth stop. So like for all the talk about retreads, I mean, you know, you got one newbie in Chris Knobloch with the Oilers, but everybody else has been very well traveled in this league.
Also, I didn't think this would be big news around the league, but it's the fourth headline on ESPN.com. The Preds bringing back goaltending coach Mitch Korn. Look, we know him, what he's done here. The guy is – he, unlike Peter Laviolette, people love this guy. Mitch Korn comes back. What's that say for the franchise and Barry Trotz bringing this guy back?
I mean, he's in that pantheon of, like, the top three goalie coaches of the last, like, 20 years. I think it's, like, him, Francois Allaire, maybe Ian Clark's in that discussion, too. You know, he's got that mystique of being the goalie whisperer, and you know, he had it in Nashville for a long time. Then he brings it over to the Islanders and does amazing work there with Sorokin and others. So the idea that he's back in action and can apply his trade again in Nashville is really big news. I mean, I think it's great news for Askarov. I think it's great news for any goalie on that roster. I got the most respect for that guy. I've had long conversations with him about the art of goaltending. He's somebody who was a real leader in the goalie analytics movement as well. He's brilliant, and I'm very happy to see him back in the saddle, as it were, with an NHL gig.
I know you're still in playoff mode, obviously, and you know, unfortunately, here in Nashville, we've kind of had to move into the off-season talk since the Predators were eliminated. But they've already made the trade, moving Ryan McDonagh. They have a ton of cap space, which is interesting because they're paying a couple of guys to not be here. They're still right. Paying Ryan Johansson. They bought out Duchesne. They're still paying Kyle Turris. I mean, there's, you know, obviously some dead cap money there, but Barry Trotz has done a really nice job opening up the salary cap for his team. So does that add some intrigue of maybe how active the Predators are going to be, albeit UC Soros probably takes a chunk of that?
Yeah, I mean, Soros is the real question mark, right? As far as like what the plans are for the off season, are they going to, you know, extend him? Are they going to trade him? Who knows? The goalie market's going to be really fascinating considering how many teams need them, how many could be available, and how aggressive a team, say like New Jersey, is going to be in acquiring one. The dead cap space, I think, necessitated the McDonagh trade. And then, you know, the real intrigue for me insofar as like what they add in the off season is I feel like Barry Trotz, this is going to be one of the first times Barry Trotz is going to have a real chance to put a stamp on this roster from a personnel standpoint. You know, it's he's got enough time now, enough runway to understand what this team really looks like. And so that's exciting to me, you know, because as we talked about before, what we perceived Barry Trotz to be as an NHL coach is not necessarily what he is as an NHL executive insofar as the personality of his team, more offensive, more up-tempo under Andrew Brunette. And so I'm excited to see exactly what kind of player he envisions is right for this roster and you know, seeing how they go about acquiring them considering the constraints of the cap.
For sure, for sure. Greg, appreciate it. As always, enjoy the rest of the conference finals, and we'll see who makes it to the Stanley Cup final, but we'll talk next week.
That we shall. Thank you, boys.
Thanks. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us as he does every Thursday at 9:30. We've had a fast and furious first hour, and we're not done yet. What's next?
We're not. The great Terry Bradshaw is coming to town this weekend for a very special event. We'll tell you why he's here and how he can be a part of this when we come back, Chase.
We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.